In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Wonderful shot.
Thank you, John. I'm feeling pretty peppy today. We're sinking the Beagle. I'm Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation.
Serious issues, are there?
Well, we try to find some serious ones. Well, we just laugh a lot at some of the ones that people think are serious.
Well, I don't know, but man, today's subject is serious.
Well, it's at least serious in concept or size or what?
Well, dinosaurs are always serious. I mean, I love dinosaurs. Don't you love dinosaurs?
Yeah, I love dinosaurs, but I don't have as many idols in my home of dinosaurs as you do.
Ah, yes, you're talking about my lovely leg bone from a Camarasaurus, a nice little piece of bone about 3 feet wide. And
what bone was it?
Leg bone, you know, connected to the no bone.
There's a 3-foot toe bone. Watch out. This one can kick a mean football.
Absolutely right. You know, and dinosaurs were, when we think of dinosaurs, John, we're thinking of something huge. Were all dinosaurs huge?
Actually, Stan, I understand that question. Oh. No. No, actually, the average size of a dinosaur, they speculate when you get all the fossils they found, mm-hmm. the average size is about the size of a small sheep.
Okay.
Or a big dog. A dog size type.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that big. They're most of them, but we always like to remember when you think dinosaurs, everybody thinks about the big ones. No one likes to talk about the little ones, but everybody talks about the big ones, you know.
Well, the current estimate from the evolutionists is that there are about 668 kinds of dinosaurs. Well, that's, I guess, give or take a few. Most of the dinosaur skeletons that are found are very incomplete, very, very fractured. Most dinosaurs
that
got buried.
A jaw, leg,
a little bit here and there. And they try to, from all of this, of course, gather together enough to make some pictures of what dinosaurs were.
They do it through that wonderful scientific process called extrapolation.
Extrapolation.
Of the evidence.
Well, I extrapolate. I don't know about you.
Yeah, but they extrapolate beyond the...
beyond the science?
Beyond the science
well,
of the evidence. In some
probably
cases.
Probably helps to have some imagination. But, you know, one of the things we've always heard about dinosaurs is...
You just ask the geographic writers. No. Going beyond the imagination. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's exactly right. But dinosaurs get big. A lot of them do, anyway. And the ones we think of, you know, the great big guys.
Apatosaurus, T-Rex.
Brachiosaurus, Camarasaurus, T-Rex, of course, with the big teeth and everything. And, you know, and as creationists, John, I mean, let's face it, we who believe in the literal account in Genesis, including the literal flood, worldwide flood, which we think the evidence is overwhelming and overflowing actually brings us to this question. Okay, if Noah made an ark, did he put any dinosaurs in there? And that's always been a question that people ask, that and how many angels can stand on the head of a pin. But anyway,
those real important ones,
the deep theological ones. What about it? Could dinosaurs fit into the ark?
Well, one thing that we can say is that there are some scientists who would disagree with the concept of 668 species of dinosaurs.
Oh, okay.
Some say that there's basically variations of some kinds, and they would lower that number to about 50, 55 in that ballpark.
Well,
which definitely cuts the amount you need, because the reality is the ark is only so big.
Right.
And so you only have so much space, and there are scientists that says, even of existing species today, there's no way that we could have gotten them all on even the ark as it lists us today. And they want to argue about those things, too.
Well, as we've talked about earlier on other Sink the Beagles, the size of the ark, when you take the dimensions that Noah mentions their size at, it was anywhere between 400 and 500 train car load size of a box. The word ark means box or container. That container was big enough to be roughly equivalent to 400 to 500 train cars. And so boxcars, you know, that's pretty good size. And the estimates from 6 to 10 to 12,000 species could easily be held in there. And if that includes 55 dinosaurs, you know, pairs.
Now, wait a minute. Were they, even with that, how big a, I mean, what size of T-Rex are you going to put on there? Or was T-Rex one off the,
I tell you what, if the animals came into the ark and they saw the T-Rex coming in, they might have scattered outside the ark. We're out of here. Choo!
Well, one thing we do know is that Noah didn't have to bring the animals to the ark. It says that God directed those animals that were to be saved to Noah to be saved by him.
Well, there's a torpedo text for that, John. Would you like me to read it?
Sure, I would love that.
It is from Genesis 6, and it is verse 19 and 20. It says, "And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth," that sounds like dinosaurs, "after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive."
Well, one thing that we talked about, there is some new studies out, Stan, that may help us a little bit.
Okay.
There is some studies. We used to always think that, well, maybe T-Rex is on the ark because dinosaurs, reptiles just keep growing and growing and growing.
Unlike mammals, birds, they don't have a stop at a maturity.
A stop button.
Yeah.
But the reality is that they probably do not take, the dinosaurs weren't that old. New studies suggest that the dinosaurs, even the big ones, were not even 30 years old.
Well, they have been studying the bones of these animals, these large dinosaurs, and among, I don't know if there's growth rings on them or what, but there are ways of determining age, apparently, and Gregory Erickson, a paleontologist at Florida State University in Tallahassee, has done a lot of research in this area, and apparently, the biggest dinosaur, the biggest T-Rex ever found, of course, is Sue. Sue is far and away the most complete dinosaur.
Stan was cuter, though, wasn't he?
Stan was number two. And for years, Stan was the biggest and best of the T-Rexes. But then they found Sue. And Sue had a lot more bones. She's more complete and bigger.
She's Big Mama.
She was Big Mama. And museum, what is it?
Drumheller?
In Chicago, the Field Museum.
Yeah.
The Field Museum has ended up with Sue, and Sue is on display there, so I recommend you go take a look at her. She's something. But even that biggest of all T-Rexes, Erickson suggests, is only 28 years old.
Wow.
That's the oldest and biggest.
She lived fast and short.
Fast and short, kind of like, well, James Dean.
Yeah. Died young. Fast and died young.
At about 28.
At about 28. Yeah, that's about right. If I know my history correctly.
And the pattern of growth for these, and, you know, only 28 and so big, what they've estimated now with dinosaurs, including Apatosaurus and all the large quadrupeds, the four legs, you know, the long necks,
as kids will know. Yeah.
Apparently had an S-shaped growth curve, which means they started off at a certain rate, but then they had a huge growth spurt, like teenagers.
Yeah.
You and I can speak to that.
Yeah.
When our kids take
somewhere between 14 and 13 and 13 and 16, 13 and 18, somewhere in there, all of a sudden there's this like 1 or 2 year span where they just go, and they're just real big, you know.
Looking down on the top of your skull and saying, "Hi, Dad." Apparently dinosaurs had similar growth rates, and this is called S-shaped or sigmoidal, and that's a good one to write down for future tests. S-shaped growth patterns, and if you look at a graph, it's kind of, you know, just an S on the chart, and the part that's going up is the teenage years.
Yeah, and those and they grow very fast. They like go in a period of 5 years, they go from maybe a kiloton to 10 or 20 or 30. I mean, it's an incredible amount, depending on what type of dinosaur you're dealing with.
25,000 kilograms. And if you think about that, that's like, there's some estimates that maybe up to 30 tons some of these animals were. And that's just, that's a lot of dinosaur.
That's a lot of blubber, boy.
That's a lot. And when you think of dinosaurs that large, that's where you start to say, well, come on, Noah's Ark, not big enough to take on some
of those
guys.
You don't have food to feed that teenager for a year.
Yep.
But
you're in there for a year.
Of course, who said you had to bring on the teenager?
Exactly right. Why not young ones? And that's been the stipulation, or the speculation, I should say, of those of us who have thought about this.
And it's not just young dinosaurs. It could be young giraffes, young elephants, young hippopotami.
Right.
Just not even wean necessarily, or close to wean probably, but young in their age. So you don't have to have the most food, the most size. You know, take small ones.
And as we read in our torpedo text, it was God who selected the animals. So he brought them. The angels led them two by two into the ark, and may very well have had, who knows, as many as maybe 55 pairs of different kinds of dinosaurs, many of which may have been very young.
And one of the arguments also was that maybe not every dinosaur had that massive growth trait even in their species.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have some species of dinosaur which basically didn't have that massive growth trait. Maybe God selected those or something similar to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say. But that is still somewhat, dinosaurs always pose somewhat of a conundrum for creationists and the ark stories, just because of the conceptual aspects of it are still hard to grasp onto by most people. They look at it and they wrestle with it.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, though, and they also wrestle with the dispersion of animals from the ark. But my whole take on a lot of that is that, well, hey, if God is the one who brought them together, maybe God's also responsible for some of the dispersion of them as well to certain areas of on the earth.
And where they were dispersed to probably was just about every corner, because as we know and as we talked on Sink the Beagles, dragon stories are found in almost every culture in every corner of the planet, where people remember in ancient days, not usually their day, but in ancient time, great-great-grandpa, there was a time when there was this great dragon that lived in a cave near
it doesn't matter what culture you go to.
Yeah, China, Africa, Babylon, you know, all these different places.
And just because we don't can't catalog every species that ever existed, we know that speciation within species sometimes has modifications. We at Sink the Beagle don't say there's no evolution taking place.
No.
We just don't believe there's no new species in the sense of
new animal types.
New types, I should say.
Yeah, species perhaps, but as long as it's a different kind of mouse or something.
Or a different kind of bird.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, on Borneo just recently in the islands, they've been discovering all kinds of
new
things.
New species, yeah.
Species they've never seen before. How long they've been in existence or what, no clue.
No clue whatsoever.
No clue.
And you know, if you look at birds and so forth, you look at a downy and a hairy woodpecker, they're just different in size. They're clearly different species, but they obviously had a single ancestor. And could have been the same thing with dinosaurs. Could have been just a very few types that produced the variety we saw. I mean, you only need a pair of wolves on the ark to produce all the different kinds of dogs and related animals that we have today.
Yeah, so if you had a Dalmatian and a poodle, and you looked at the poodle and the Dalmatian skeletons,
you'd say, right.
Oh, man, they must be totally different related species. No, they're both canines, and if you had the right size or the right direction going genetically, you can they can mate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dalmatians and poodles can intermix. Obviously one way, but.
Well, in the same way, you know, when you look at the dinosaurs, you have to assume that with a little, you know, like I said, we only have little bits and pieces of skeletons. We do not have a whole lot of complete dinosaur skeletons. In fact, they only number a couple 3,000 at the most that are known. From that, you're trying to build an understanding of the whole population, and may very well have been that they were cousins to each other and very much related into a smaller amount of kinds.
Yeah, and we bring up dinosaurs from time to time on Sink the Beagle because it is one of the questions most creationists and most evolutionists and most kids have.
Yeah.
I mean, what about the dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Because we do know, they existed. Yes, they
lived up to the time of the flood because they were covered in the great sedimentation left by the flood.
Yeah.
They lived up to Noah's day.
And our creation story demands also a biblical flood story, too, as far as explanations of the world we find it today and the condition we find it today.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hope that maybe every now and then passing along some of the latest information on these things
will on dinosaurs,
at least help you be intelligent in your discussions of them.
Yeah.
Hopefully like we are today.
Yes. Oh. So be sure to keep on tuning in to Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.